Your source for everything paranormal. Para X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on the Gathering Radio Show.
Welcome in, everybody. It's another Wednesday night.
It's not Wednesday, it's Tuesday.
Oh, you know, could I be any further off?
I'm not going to let Stephanie do any more openings.
No, you know what? I'm thinking about my husband, Jerry, you know, is on a calling radio show that we used to be a part of. And his brand new show begins tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, Heidi.
That's what we have been hearing and waiting for.
I know, and it's so exciting. So he has two new co-hosts, and they are awesome. And I think that he's going to have a phenomenal show because they have just all kinds of stuff to talk about. Cryptozoology stuff, demonology, paranormal, you name it, they're going to be talking about it.
Yeah, they come from different backgrounds, so I think it'll be a neat mix of co-hosts. Yeah. So tune in tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, was it Eastern Time or Central Time?
7 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock, no, 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern Time.
8 o'clock Eastern Time. So
the calling is on about an hour earlier than they used to be. So make sure that you listen in because I think it's going to be a really fun show.
Absolutely. So we're here with The Gathering and we're glad you're all with us today. Hopefully you're on the chat box because we have a really fun guest that we'll introduce here in a few minutes. But we welcome your questions for this guest as well. So, but we have a few things that we've been working on over the last week since we were here last Tuesday. And one of the things that I was doing this weekend was my annual paranormal camping trip. And we were in Forestville Mystery Cave State Park.
Isn't that fun?
It was amazing, beautiful, and hot. We plan a September event because it's supposed to be cool. It was in the 90s. We were camping in the 90s.
Yeah, it was so abnormally hot here in Minnesota.
It was toasty.
Yeah.
But when you go into the cave, it's a cool 51 degrees. So that was good. Built-in air conditioning. We couldn't sleep there, though. They don't let you do that. But yeah, it was fun. We the reason I wanted to go there this year is, and we brought a group of, I think, 20 people for the weekend. And I wanted to see if there was any paranormal activity in the caves, you know, because what's going on in the caves? And really, the cave wasn't discovered until 1938.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so it had, you know, someone found some kind of opening and busted in and found this massive cave system that I think is like 13 miles long.
Oh,
it's really
gosh.
Long. And I mean, it's not all walkable. You know, sometimes pieces I think are crawlable or squeezable. Mm-hmm. But really interesting cave, and they've done a lot of upgrades and modifications to make it walker friendly for the main tour, which is what we did. But I brought my mail meter in, my K2 meter, and I got some interesting anomalies that I just couldn't explain. So I don't know who would be there because no one's ever lived there. It wasn't ever inhabited by any native people. You know, I don't know. And nobody, as far as we know, has died there. I mean, they said nobody had died in the caves. So, or had any kind of trauma or accident. If anything, there was some disgruntled workers that were getting it ready for people to be able to go in.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, it wasn't, there was no big emotion there, which sometimes is what creates energy or an energetic marker.
Well, and is it a lot of crystals going on in there? Because, you know, they hold a lot of energy and memories, and no, not there, huh?
And, but it's a limestone, mainly limestone cave, which can hold its own kind of energy too.
Yeah.
But it's not like a crystal cave like some of the caves that are out there. So mm-hmm. It was really, but it was really beautiful. These formations that are happening because of the water mm-hmm. and, you know, so, the cave floods, I guess, every 3 years, but there's always water flowing. There's a river right out there. And so there's pieces of the river flowing in. And
well, and you know, paranormal energy runs along rivers and water sources, correct?
So yeah.
It makes sense.
So we just thought, you know, there might be something there. But it was interesting, a couple of anomalies that we couldn't explain. And it was beautiful. And it was a fun weekend. We did some hiking, and it's a nice way to get the paranormal community together
yes.
to just hang out and get to know each other. And mm-hmm. what's so much fun is that people, they come together in this group. There's like 20 of us, and then people split off into their own little groups. Like people that don't even know each other decide, hey, we're going to go explore this place. Mm-hmm. You want to go? Sure. And they get to know each other. They have a good time. So it's a lot of fun, and I'm glad I can host a community event like that. So people, they know that they have a common interest. So if there's nothing else to talk about, there's always ghosts.
Oh, yeah, for so, sure. No, it sounds great. It sounds great. I got to come with you some year. I know you've invited me in the past, but, you know, fall is so busy.
It is busy.
Like, it's really hard.
Yeah. But we already have our dates locked in for next year.
Do you?
Yeah. Because it's so busy. So you've got to lock something in or it just disappears. I accidentally almost double booked myself for a wedding in the same weekend that I was running an event. I mean, seriously. Like, what am I doing? Yeah. So
you'll have to tell me what those dates are, and maybe I'll put it in my calendar and see if I can go next year.
It's good. We're going to have fun.
Because I'm jealous because, you know, I know you keep having all this fun.
Well, and we always go somewhere that has some historic significance,
well,
so there's other things
year,
to do.
We went up north to where the big fire was and stuff.
The Hinckley Fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was really tragic, but a lot of interesting energy up there, too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
so that's what I was up to since we were on last week, and it was fun.
Awesome.
We had a good time.
Awesome. Yeah, I kind of just hung out in the house all weekend because I was, you know, I can't take the heat very well.
It was toasty. Yeah, we went on a hike in the morning to try and beat the heat, and that failed.
Yeah.
It was a fail because it was hot, like 85, 86 by the time it was 10:30 in the morning. So fail on the hike. But we did it. We still did it. It was like a 2 mile hike, and it was great until
the woods,
there was a
right?
huge hill. Yeah, it was in the woods, and this huge hill was out of nowhere. I'm like, where is this hill coming from? Anyway, we almost died, or I should just speak for myself.
And here you are.
I almost died. I could have haunted the campfire that night.
Oh, so yeah, campfires in that heat. Holy mama, that's crazy.
Yeah, so we it was fun. We had a good time. Got a lot of fun pictures, but I think most of it was just for the community involvement and people getting together and just having a fun time. And it's a state park, so it doesn't get wild. There's rules and regulations, which is why I like going there, because I don't have to manage a rowdy crowd, and I don't have to worry about anyone around us being rowdy. So it's, and we support our state parks. So I am all about all of it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think it sounds phenomenal.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did think about you several times over the weekend, and I thought, oh my God, I would just be dead.
It got into the 70s overnight, thank goodness, because I don't know if I'd have made it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd have been sleeping in the car with the AC or something.
Oh, yeah. Or half in the water somewhere, right?
Yeah, playing in the river.
The feet, at least.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we have full schedules, and, you know, Paracon is coming up, and it just, you know what, it's only like
3 weeks.
2 weeks or 3 weeks?
I think it's three. Wow. 3 weeks. I know.
It's coming really fast.
It is, and I'm excited for it. It's going to be fun. And they've added some new people, new guests to the list, so I'm excited for that. And I'm excited to see any of you that are coming up to Paracon to stop by, see Steph and myself.
Yeah.
We'll be at a couple of different booths. We'll be at our home booths.
Yeah.
Someday maybe we'll have a gathering booth. Wouldn't that be something?
Yes, that would be awesome.
So,
awesome. We have a lot of ground to cover up there, so I think we're going to be exhausted by the time it's over, but it's such a fun time.
It is. We have
and
a good time.
And I'm hoping that we'll convince some of, you know, some of the more well-known guests who are ghost hunters to come and, you know, just do a little 5-minute chat with us for our radio show.
Yep, get a little recording going.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to bring my bad voice recorder and, you know, hopefully we can sit them down somewhere and just in a quieter place and just talk to them for 5 minutes.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, I know they will. So look forward to that, everyone, because we'll have that in the next, month or so.
Yes, absolutely. So with that, I think I want to get to our guest because we have a really fun guest tonight. Mm-hmm. If you've seen the ads that we've been posting, we have Bob Peterson with us, who is an expert on out-of-body experiences. And I want to fill you guys in. He's written a handful of books that I'll read the titles of. They're available through his website, which is robertpeterson.org. And the books, I'm looking at them right now, Out-of-Body Experiences, Lessons Out of the Body, The Gospel According to Mike, and Answers Within. So I'd love to, and I'm honored to introduce to you tonight, Robert Peterson, who is our out-of-body experience expert. Welcome, Bob.
Hi, Heidi. Hi, Stephanie. How are you doing?
Good.
We're great. Thanks for coming on, Bob. This is a very interesting topic.
Well, thanks for having me on the show. I know I'm excited. You get me started on this topic, and I just can't shut up.
Perfect. Love it.
We love that.
So I'd love to find out, how on earth did you get started on this topic?
Okay, well, it's kind of a long story, but basically, it started in 1979, and I was basically just, I had graduated from high school, and I was just starting college, and my brother Joe had realized that my dad had kind of an interest in paranormal topics. My dad used to read, books about Edgar Cayce and stuff, and so my brother Joe thought that my dad might enjoy a book called Journeys Out of the Body by Robert Monroe. And I had heard of out-of-body thing when I was a kid, but I was never able to get any information out of the library about the topic. So when my dad was done reading it, I asked if I could borrow it. Well, anyway, I read the book, and I read it like faster than any other book I'd ever read, and I just devoured it because this was so fascinating. I mean, this Robert Monroe guy is suddenly talking about, leaving his body and floating through the ceiling and flying through walls and sticking his hand through the floor and all of this stuff and just basically acting like a ghost and being able to fly across, and visit other people's houses and whatever. And I thought, at the time I was a very skeptical, scientific kind of guy. I was very much into computer science, and I entered the University of Minnesota in computer science. And I still am very much a computer nerd, and that's what I do for a living. So anyway, I read this book, and my scientific background said, no way, this is all, hogwash. This is a load of crap.
Right?
I didn't believe a word of it. And but the good thing is that Robert Monroe basically gave a procedure in there for inducing an out-of-body experience. And I thought, what the heck, I'll keep an open mind. I mean, what is science if science can't keep an open mind, right? Unfortunately, there's too much bias in science today anyway. But So anyway, I kept an open mind. I thought, okay, I'm going to try this method. And, worst that happens, I lose some sleep or whatever. And who knows, So I tried it, and I followed Monroe's technique in the book to the letter, or at least my interpretation of the letter. I'm not sure I was interpreting what Monroe was saying correctly, but I did the best I could. And for example, you have to approach the edge of sleep. You have to, lie down in bed at the edge of sleep, and then you approach the edge of sleep, and you have to keep your mind completely clear, and then you start doing these visualizations, right? Well, I visualized these lines of force that Monroe recommended, and I followed his procedure as best I could. And suddenly, much to my surprise, I felt a twang inside my mind and inside my head, and it was like the lines of force that I had been imagining had suddenly become real, and it felt like I had touched a high-voltage power line, and
wow.
My initial reaction was I panicked, and I thought, okay, I made a big mistake here trying to follow this And what have I gotten myself into? So I tried to move, but I found myself completely paralyzed, right? I was in sleep paralysis. And so anyway, you know, then I really started panicking and thrashing and trying to get a hold of myself. And these vibrations kept, came sweeping into my body. And basically, I saw like a blue ring of fire that kind of went over my head and kind of slipped over my head and filled my body with these vibrations. And they were very rough, very electrical. I felt like I was literally being electrocuted at the time. So it was a very scary first encounter.
Wow.
And so I freaked, I panicked, I did everything in my power to regain control of my body. And after a short period of time, I was able to move again, and I had successfully, I felt like I had dodged a bullet. But that made me realize that maybe Monroe is not lying about his out-of-body experiences. And as a scientific oriented guy, I was like, I felt like I was, you know, Christopher Columbus or something. I felt like I was literally stepping, you know, taking baby steps into a new world. I mean, that was basically undiscovered country at that time. And I needed to find out more, because it's like, okay, nobody ever told me about this stuff. Certainly, mm-hmm. science never told me about it. But it was very real, very tangible, very, you know, this is hit on the head with a 2x4 kind of real. And so I started researching everything I could. I started amassing a collection of books, and I was going to college at the time, so I couldn't afford very many books, but I was trying to collect books, and there weren't that many books written about the out-of-body experience at that time. So there was, I think, Oliver Fox and E. Ram and, of course, Robert Monroe and Sylvan Muldoon and some of these others. And so I started reading, and I finally got up enough courage to try and do this out-of-body thing again with Monroe's technique, and it didn't work the second time. So I was a little put off by that, but it's like, okay, I'm going to, you know, see what other people have written about it, see if other books have other recommendations on things to try. And, of course, that kind of got me started in my journey and learning all about this. And I was about a month later, it took me about a month, I started practicing out-of-body stuff every night. I mean, I was trying to induce the experience every night, and I was failing. And most of the time, I was falling asleep. But there were some times when I wouldn't fall asleep where really scary things would happen to me. I would, for example, open my eyes, and I'd see, you know, what looked to me like wispy stuff, like ghost stuff or whatever, hanging in midair. It's like, well, not quite sure what that is. Is that a ghost in my room? Is that my own astral body that, you know, because I was pretty uneducated at the time. I was, you know, a lot of guesswork here.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, there was some scary stuff that happened. But I was trying it every night. And then I'd say after about a month, I came home late one night, and I was going to the University of Minnesota, and I'd been programming all day long, all day and all night. And I got home pretty late. And went to bed. I wolfed down some lasagna that my mom had put in the fridge. She made me dinner, and I hadn't made it home in time for dinner. And I was up, you know, at the university doing programming, which I used to love to do just for entertainment's sake. And so anyway, I came home, wolfed down the lasagna, and went to bed. And that was like one of the first and only nights that I decided not to try to induce an out-of-body. So it's like, and that was kind of the impetus, right? It's like, as soon as you stop trying so hard, that's when it happened again. So that's when I had my first real out-of-body experience. So the first experience that I talked about was kind of a run-in with the vibrations, which is a precursor to the out-of-body. And then my very first out-of-body experience was really a strange one as well. But that got me going, and today I've had many hundreds of out-of-body experiences. I've amassed a collection of more than 200 books on the topic, And that's just the topic of out-of-body experience. That does not include any peripheral topics. It doesn't include, I've got a section on near-death experiences in my library. I've got a section on remote viewing. I've got a section on lucid dreaming and all of these other kind of side topics. These 200 books are just on out-of-body experience.
Wow.
So I pretty much have made it my life's study and my life's passion. So yeah, it's really got me going, and the more I learn about it, the more exciting it seems to get.
That's fantastic. You know, it's interesting because we're friends on social media, and I see when you post a review on these books, and they seem to be coming out on a somewhat regular basis. So there must be, you know, new books coming out on quite often, which is quite a change from where you came from when you said you couldn't find anything on the subject when you first heard about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's kind of the funny thing is, you know, when I started reading all of these books and I started having all of these out-of-body experiences myself, it was kind of strange because what I experienced did not necessarily match what I read in the books. The books, a lot of times, contradicted one another, and I couldn't trust what they were saying because, you know, to me, it just didn't seem true or whatever. So, I mean, one book would say one thing, and the next book would say the complete opposite. And so what I did is I finally decided that I had to write my own book to kind of, like, I don't know, set the record straight or whatever and you know, just to tell the world what I had experienced. And it's like, you know, trying to come at it from a semi-scientific point of view. So, you know, presenting what happened to me and, you know, this is what, you know, how eyesight seemed to operate and this is how gravity seemed to operate and, I mean, all of these different things. And, yeah, I mean, what I've done is at the time, there were not that many books on OBE, as I said, as time goes on, I think that has accelerated quite a bit. And a lot of that I credit to Robert Monroe, the guy who got me started on my path, because Monroe started the Monroe Institute in Virginia, and he influenced either directly or indirectly a lot of different people who started having these OBEs and started studying them and learning to induce them. And then it was kind of like a ball, you know, rolling down a hill. It gathered momentum, and it just kept getting bigger and bigger. And so now you've got, you know, lots of books on the subject. When I started, I could only find, like, maybe a dozen books or so, like, you know, on the topic total. And now, like I said, there's over 200, and a lot of those are, I mean, they're coming out all the time. And, I think I've been doing these book reviews now for, I started a blog. What I did is I started a blog, and I started that blog in, let me get my facts straight here. My first entry was November 4th, 2012. So I'm coming up on 5 years doing my blog. And yeah, and basically my original thought was, you know, I wanted to go through and reread some of these books, because one of my regrets is I read a lot of these books really fast and I didn't remember what they said, and it's like, I should have taken notes, or I should have taken a highlighter, or, you know, put little flags or something on these books, because now I've forgotten over 25 years or whatever, I've forgotten what they say, and I wanted that information back. So I started rereading a lot of the books in my library, and of course, more books came out. I regularly peruse Amazon.com for more out-of-body books, and they're coming out all the time. And so I've been reviewing them and basically telling what matches my experience and what I disagree with, what hasn't been my experience, and, you know, kind of a list of what's good and what's bad about each book, because the bottom line is, you know, every book out there is got some good and it's got some bad. And I mean, this is kind of, in a way, uncharted territory. So, you know, people have opinions as to what's happening to them, and some are more founded in the occult framework, and some are more founded in, you know, more of a New Age framework. And Some of them are more in a religious framework, and everyone's got their own kind of angle and their own take. And I wanted to kind of, you know, give a rating system, if you would, and you know, say what I liked and didn't about these books. So, yeah, I've been rereading them all, and now it's gotten to the point I've got 72 books that I've reviewed, and so I've got a lot more that I can review. I gotten to the point now where when a new author comes out with a new out-of-body book, a lot of times they are looking to promote the book, and they're part of the promotion process is finding someone to do book reviews. So a lot of them stumble upon my blog and everything and on Facebook, and so I've gotten to the point now where these authors are now sending me their out-of-body books. So I don't have to buy them on Amazon anymore.
Nice.
I still do. I buy quite a few books on Amazon. But it's not uncommon for me to get books in the mail, you know, once every month or every couple months or something like that. And then I can read the book and give an honest review of what I think is, you know, good and what's bad about it. And, I mean, it's all good. But, yeah, I mean, what I've found is there's no end of learning, right? I mean, you're never at the destination. It's a journey more than anything. And so I get a little bit out of every book, and I try to share that with the world. And that's the other thing I was going to say about my book. When I came out with my book, it was in, I think I copyrighted it in 1997. And so it's been out there for 20 years now. And it's been available for free on my website in web format and HTML format since before it was published. And, I mean, this is like the early days of the Internet. So I wanted to prove to the world basically that I'm not in it for the money. I'm giving away this you know, all the information in my first book for free. And I cleared it with my publisher. My publisher who did the book in printed form basically said, well, it's your material. You can do whatever you want to it. And much to their surprise, having the book available on my website actually increased its popularity because a lot of people found it through my website and said, oh, I got to have the printed one in my hands. And so I've actually had a fair amount of success with the book. And like I said, it's 20 years old now, so it's kind of dated. And there's a lot more newer information that's come to light in the past several years. But it's still good information, and it's still kind of popular. The book's been translated into German and Japanese and Czech and Russian and English.
Wow!
It's had a good deal of success. What happened then is, you know, as soon as I got the book, I kind of had some regrets of, oh, I should have talked about this, oh, I should have talked about that. And so I wrote a follow-on book. The follow-on book was not a very popular book. The first book was, as I said before, I tried to focus on the scientific aspect and, you know, what I had encountered, personal experience. In the second book, Lessons Out of the Body, I tried to focus on more of the spiritual, where the out-of-body experience can take you spiritually, and I tried to relate it more to daily life and things that I had gone through and some of the more spiritual lessons and stuff like that. And so I think a lot of people kind of felt that it was, you know, not holding true to the first book, and they wanted more of what the first book had. So it definitely wasn't as popular. It was also my publisher took better controls of trying to make it, you know, they did a lot of editing and stuff to make sure that I couldn't really put it on my website for free like the first book. So it would take a great deal of work to actually do that. I actually have translated or done some of the editing work by hand and put some of the chapters on my website of the second book as well. But the whole thing definitely is not there. It would be way too much work. Anyway.
Oh, I can imagine. You know what? We're almost to the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we have loads of questions.
We have tons of questions for you, Bob. So they're filling up the chat room. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in, what, 2 minutes?
Two.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. Demons. Vampires. Werewolves. Skinwalkers. All of this and more. Sunday nights at midnight on the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. So brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock. The Dark Sun Rising on the Para-X Radio Network.
Hello? Hello? Is somebody there? Hello? Jen? Jerry?
The Calling, Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Central, only on Para-X.com.
Hi, this is Master Tarot Card Reader Ken Bogle, and I highly encourage you to tune in every Monday night to the Para-X Radio Network for the Para-Cave, hosted by Matt Gesso, as he goes in search of the truth in the supernatural, metaphysical, mystic, and paranormal. Monday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, only on the Para-X Radio Network. I never miss it, and neither should you.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Gathering. We have Bob Peterson with us, who is an out-of-body experience expert. And it's been really fascinating talking with him tonight. And we've got a lot of questions, right, Steph?
We do.
A lot of questions from the chat room.
Yes, people are just really coming up with these great questions.
So I'd like to go back to one of the first ones that came through, which was, Bob, you barely got started. And people are sending in questions because this is really interesting stuff. So the first question, I would love to know, this is Symbol of Life is who how they put their chat name on here. I would love to know, oops, I just lost my box here, if he does any healing while he's on the astral plane, and if he meets with other people while being there, and then what's the highest dimension you've ever been to? So it's kind of three questions.
Yeah,
okay. Well, I don't want to spend too much time with one person's questions, because if you have a lot of them, but as far as which the highest plane I've ever been to, you know, I've never really, I mean, it's not like you go into a room and they have a sign posted over the door that says, you know, you're entering the fourth level of the fifth plane of astral whatever. I mean, there aren't signs. So to me, it's more like you find yourself in a city, and you kind of know that it's not an earthly city or whatever, and, you know, it kind of is different from anything you've seen on Earth or whatever, and you don't know how high of a plane that is, or you know, if it's even right to define planes of existence in those terms. All you know is that you're someplace that's not where your body is, and, you know, you're experiencing another world or another city or whatever. And, you know, there's no saying, you know, what, you know, how high it is. I've always questioned books that say, okay, you know, there's a etheric plane and there's the astral plane and there's a buddhic plane and there's a, you know, all of these things, mental plane. I've always kind of took those with a grain of salt, because, like, how do they know that? You know, how do they get their experience? And another thing is that I don't think that I've been as high or as far and wide as some of these authors that I've read in some of the books. I mean, some of these, my favorite out-of-body author, I would have to say, is Jürgen Zieve, because he's got some fantastic books out there, and he takes it so far. You know, he's gone a lot further than I ever have. And so, I mean, you're better off asking somebody like Jurgen. For me, it's just, you know, experiencing a place. Now, as far as the healing question that we started off with, I think I wrote about in my first book, Out-of-Body Experiences, How to Have Them and What to Expect. I did talk about an experience in which it was a very bizarre experience, in which I was allowed to come along as, it's really hard to describe, and it sounds really far out of this world, but, you know, it is what it is. I was allowed to witness my higher self, which was busy trying to do a healing. So my experience was, I could see, I was parked in front of a person, and I could see their energy body, and I was positioned at that person's head, and it's like I was kind of like, I felt kind of like my higher self was some kind of a healing brain surgeon kind of thing, but not a brain surgeon, but it was energy manipulation. And my higher self was basically, I could see my own hands in front of me, and it was manipulating the energy inside this person's brain, and it was basically trying to reroute neural pathways and stuff to heal the physical body that way. And during this experience, I did that, you know, a couple of different times. I visited a couple of different people and did a couple of different healings. Now, this is not a conscious act. I don't know how to go to somebody's, you know, house and heal them. All I know is I was allowed to witness my higher self doing it, and I was conscious and aware that it was happening at the time. And it was a very very humbling experience, because it just goes to show you that we do have a greater self that we're not aware of. Most of us are used to this, you know, small ego self that's basically a tiny fragment of a greater higher self. And this higher self is just, you know, mind-blowing in its capacity for everything, capacity for loving, capacity for healing, capacity for exploring, whatever. And we're just kind of, you know, a fragment that is being used for experience on this earth, you know, area, this earth plane, or whatever you want to call it. So that's kind of, you know, an experience with healing. I've tried doing some healing, remote healing, and I've met with some degree of success sometimes and sometimes not. For example, early on in my marriage, my wife would get terrible headaches, and she'd have me kind of do, I've never been trained in Reiki or anything like that, but she would have me, you know, try and do some energy healing type of things. I did Tai Chi Chuan for like 7 years, and I studied a little bit of Qigong, and I studied a little bit of this and that, other martial arts, Shaolin even a little bit. But so I knew, I got to be kind of okay at manipulating my own internal chi or energy or prana or whatever you want to call it. And so I've tried my hand at doing some of that, but nothing really formal. I've never really had any formal training or anything like that. So what was the second part of the question? I think I've answered the first part and the third part.
If you meet with other people, and I think someone else asked that too.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, when you're out there traveling on the out of your body, it's really kind of interesting, because you will see and meet people. And what's interesting to me is, if I see a person, that person could either be another out of body traveler, or it could be somebody who's in the body. Or it could be, you know, somebody who's, you know, a ghost or whatever, somebody non-physical. And so when I meet up with them, a lot of times I can kind of tell just through experience by looking at them and talking with them. If the person seems very distracted and self-absorbed and uninterested in you, you know, they're kind of walking around and they're not making good eye contact and they're, you know, doing dishes and stuff while they talk. In my experience, that means you're talking to somebody that's in the physical world. You know, they're still in their body. They're completely unaware that they're talking to you at a subconscious level, and that's exactly what they're doing, I believe. They're talking to you with their subconscious mind, or another fragment of their consciousness. But you're talking with them and interacting with them. You're seeing them, but they're not aware of you. And if you ask them the next day, they won't remember anything. This has happened to me a number of times. Now, if you meet somebody and their eyes follow you and they make eye contact and they, you know, hi, how's it going? And they make small talk or whatever, then that's an ordinary spirit, right? They're all over the place out there. And they're easy to see. Now, once in a while, there are people that don't seem to notice you. It's like you're on a completely different vibration level from them. So I've been in, you know, I'll travel and I'll find myself in a room and it's filled with people or whatever, but nobody can see me. So it'll be like I'm invisible, and I don't know if they're physical or if it's some kind of thing from the past, an echo of history, or what exactly. But, you know, and then there's another topic that's related to the people topic, and that is guides. And in my experience, there's help out there. There are guides, but these guides are, believe it or not, they're invisible. I think maybe my vibrations are more coarse and low, and their vibrations are more high, and I don't know what the heck it is, but I can never see these invisible helpers. But there are these invisible helpers out there. They're dispassionate and barely take an interest, but they will be very helpful and answer questions. And so what I've found is if I leave the body and I'm having trouble, and let's say I'm having trouble getting to a place, or if I'm having trouble finding something or other, I can ask in midair, you know, could I get some assistance with this? And I'll hear one of these invisible helpers say, yeah, sure, you know, I'll help you out. And they'll basically come and, you know, take my hand and pull me somewhere or help me in whatever way I need. So the help is out there from these invisible helpers, but it's different from an ordinary spirit. And that's kind of a strange deal I've found.
That's interesting, just all the different types of beings or entities or people or whoever that you would run into while you're doing an OBE. So one of the other questions too I wanted to get in there is, have you ever tried to visit a past life while being out of body?
No, I haven't really tried to do that. I'm not really sure, you know, when you're standing there, I'm not sure, you know, you're standing outside your body or whatever, how do you go about doing that? How do you instruct yourself to visit a past life or something like that, other than, you know, just making an intention and try to follow the intention, which is basically how you travel from place to place? I've had some experiences. One time I had an experience that I believe came from a past life, but it had nothing to do with an out-of-body experience. Many years ago, I had a dream, and I dreamed of a particular place, and I dreamed that my brother and I were looking at an apartment, and this is an apartment that the dream awakened what I feel are past life memories. So when I woke from this dream, I remembered this scenario from the dream that I had, that it was a real place and that my mom used to go and take us there for, you know, to be babysat and all this. But it wasn't my real mom. I think it was a past life mom. And that was kind of a weird thing. So I do believe in reincarnation, and I have had some personal experiences like that lead me to believe that there are past lives and that we have a connection out there, but I haven't really touched that in an out-of-body experience.
Interesting. You know, and your answer kind of leads into another question that we had from one of our guests in the chat room. Kat was asking, how do you know you're not dreaming rather than having an out-of-body experience? So you said you were dreaming in that one, but how do you know the difference?
Mm-hmm. Well, that it's actually, there's several levels here. In a dream, you're not conscious, right? You're completely unconscious, and you know that you're not conscious. So when you wake up, it's like, yeah, I mean, I've had dreams where I dreamed I was out of body, and I wake up, and it's like, yeah, I know it was just a dream. When you're having an out-of-body experience, first of all, it's a completely conscious experience. So you are fully conscious and awake and aware. You know what's going on. You know where your body is. You can see your body. You know you're not dreaming. But then there's this, actually, I believe in a, there's actually four different states that I believe in. An ordinary dream is where you're unconscious and you are, you're unconscious and you're experience a self, you're experiencing a self-created hallucination, which is called the dream, right? You're, this is a creation of your own mind. This is a dream. If you become conscious and you're still hallucinating that, that dream, then that becomes a lucid dream. So basically, you're awake and aware and you know what's going on, but you know, also know that you're hallucinating and that what you're experiencing is not real. And you know that this dream, this hallucination that you're experiencing, you know, you can basically, well, a lot of people say you can do whatever you want and, you know, you can make tunnels appear and you can go flying and you can do whatever in the dream world because it's all just a creation of your own mind. And you know you're dreaming. You know you're fully, you're fully aware that you're dreaming. And that's been scientifically proven in the lab. They've had scientists have hooked up, you know, people to, you know, eye monitors because in a lucid dream, for example, or in a regular dream, you'll be paralyzed in dream in sleep paralysis, but your eyes will still be able to move. So the people that are having a lucid dream are able to signal the scientists that now they're having a lucid dream by moving their eyes in a particular way that can be monitored with scientific equipment. But anyway, I digress. But anyway, so this lucid dream is where you're still hallucinating, but you're conscious. But then there's another level where you can dispel the illusion or get rid of the hallucination. In other words, you can wake yourself up without waking your body up, and that's when it becomes an out-of-body experience. So basically, I believe it's a conscious experience, and I believe that it's not a hallucination. And many times I've used the lucid dream state as a jump, as a springboard for an out-of-body experience. It's probably the easiest way to induce an OBE for many people, is basically you condition yourself for lucid dreaming, and then you realize that you're dreaming, and then you dispel the hallucination, and you wake up. And so basically, you realize at that point that you're no longer dreaming. You get rid of that dream hallucination, and you're fully able to interact, and now you find yourself, instead of being in the dream world, you know, you say you're in a dream that you're in the hospital. Okay, now you become lucid, and you're still in that hospital, which is a dream hallucination, and but now you're lucid and aware that you're dreaming. And then you take it a step further, and you basically wake up from that dream. What happens is the hospital dissipates, it disappears, it kind of evaporates into nothingness, and you find that you're floating above your physical body in your bed, like you're maybe a foot or two lying on top, you know, your physical body, where your body is located. But you know at that point that you're in the fully out-of-body state, and from there you can go where you want.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, it's fascinating. And I mean, Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, I almost forgot the I said that there were four states. That's three of them: the dreaming state, the lucid dreaming, and out of body. There's actually a fourth state where it's called shared dreaming, where you're actually out of body, but you're still unconscious, and so you're experiencing a subjective. You're experiencing an objective reality of some sort, but you're not conscious and aware, and that's a shared dream. That's where that's where multiple people can have the same dream and see the same things and report the same events and landmarks and things like that to each other when they wake up, but they were not conscious at the time. So that's the fourth state.
Wow. That's amazing. And one of the things that I wanted to make sure we get out there before we run out of time, because we're getting close to the end of the show, because you know all this about the out-of-body experience and all the steps and how to best have an out-of-body experience, you teach classes now, correct?
Well, I've taught classes once in a while. I did an out-of-body class that was a whole weekend seminar at the Wainwright House, several years ago, which is a place in New York, upstate New York. That's actually where I think that's where Deepak Chopra got his start, or at least, you know, he used that as part of a springboard to get where he's at. But anyway, so I've taught classes for Wainwright, and I've taught some other classes here and there. But lately, I'm kind of excited because I was asked by Alexander Defoe. Defoe is a professor in the in Australia, and he's the editor of a book called Consciousness Beyond the Body. And this book is he asked a whole bunch of experts in the field, everyone to contribute a chapter on our body. And usually it had something to do with the objectivity of the experience. So I contributed a chapter, and my chapter is on the basically proof that OBEs are objective and not purely a subjective, like, dream-type experience. And so anyway, Alexander Defoe, where this leads me, is he asked me, he started a brand-new platform for teaching called Learn Inspire. And he created a website, learn-inspire.com, and he asked me to be one of his first teachers, if you will. And he got, I think right now he's only got like 3 classes offered, but I've basically spent all summer long designing a brand new class. It's streamlined, it's basically, you know, geared toward getting you out of the body, and it's none of this, you know, no personal stories except, you know, just to illustrate a point. And no conjecture about, you know, planes of existence, no needless talk. This is all about different techniques to get you out of the body. And so it's a really focused class, and it had to be because it's only 4 talks, 4 days of lecture, and each lecture is like 90 minutes in length. And so, yeah, if you go to learn-inspire.com, you'll see my new class. I think it just was released to the public like last week or something, and became available. And I'm excited about that, and I think it's a really cheap price compared to, like, some of the other classes that are available out there on the topic.
Fantastic. I'm actually going to that website right now, and I'll post it on our chat room, and we'll post it in on our Facebook page as well.
And again, you know, I've got a lot of... I don't want to, you know, push it like I'm trying to make money or anything. This is something that Alex Defoe asked me to do, and I'm trying to help him get his thing out there. And at the same time, you know, he's making money off of it, and I'm getting a certain percentage. But I want to stress that, you know, my website, robertpeterson.org, is free. All of the stuff that's on there, including my entire first book, is available there for free. I've got the blog, which is obeoutlook.blogspot.com. And that's all free, and I try to post to that like every 2 to 3 weeks, although this summer I've been really busy, so I haven't done much reading, so it's been kind of a stretch. But that's all free, and I also get a lot of emails that I give advice for free as well. There's a lot of free information out there on out-of-body and how to induce it, so don't feel like that's your only option.
No, it's fascinating stuff. And, you know, I'm looking at some of the things that are for sale, and really the prices are very reasonable, like you said. So, there's a lot of information that you provide as well that is free for anybody that is looking. So we thank you for that.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, it's all about raising the global consciousness, I think. You know, the more people that are experiencing this, and I think a lot of this came to light because so many people, medicine's gotten better, so more people, instead of dying, have had near-death experience, and I think that whole thing has led to people having more understanding of out-of-body experience, because out-of-body experience is basically one feature of a near-death experience. So if you have an NDE, a lot of times people have an out-of-body experience as one feature of that NDE, but I think that's raising awareness. Also, you know, shows like the one with Benedict Cumberbatch, the Doctor Strange. I think, you know, he had a lot of out-of-body sequences in there in the film, and it's kind of fun. But I think all these things are raising awareness of the out-of-body state. And I think that it's William Buhlmann, who's another one of my favorite authors. He's one of the foremost experts on OBE in the field. He teaches classes at the Monroe Institute now, and he's basically said, and I agree with him, that out-of-body experience is kind of the next important step in raising your consciousness. So, I mean, it's kind of one of those tools on the path. Some people see it as a distraction and, oh, what good is this or whatever. But I think it really has a lot of potential to teach us about ourselves, about our where we're going after we die, about what's, you know, life is about, and it can lead us to a very spiritual place. So I do feel there's a lot of value in them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and like you said, it's kind of, you know, there's a lot of information out there, but there's still a lot that hasn't been explored.
Well, and you know, my question absolutely. Is, aren't you afraid that you'll never come back to your body? What if you can't find it?
That's actually
you know,
one of
maybe
the very...
this is a dumb question, but I mean, I'm thinking about all this.
I think it's a very good question, Stephanie. That's a scary thing.
You don't want to come back. I mean, really?
No, there's a lot of people have the same. There's basically, you know, a small set of very fundamental fears. The first one is fear of the unknown, because it's a very unknown, very scary situation, right? And it's a very natural thing. And the other is the fear of death, of, okay, well, you know, can I die by doing this? If my spirit goes too far away from the body, can my body die and I'll not be able to get back in, that kind of thing. What you got to realize is that most of these fears are based on the body itself. These are basically instincts that are designed by nature to preserve your physical body. And so when you're out there, you don't really need them. All I can say about, you know, not being able to find your way back and getting lost and all of this is, you know, if it was going to happen, it would have happened to me, you know, 20 years ago or 30 years ago. So, I mean, it would have happened a very long time ago. And, I mean, the problem is not getting back to your body. The problem is staying out as long as you can, because out-of-body experiences tend to be very short in duration. And there are certain tricks you can do to try and prolong them, but eventually you always get sucked back inside your body, and the whole goal is to make it last as long as you can so you can learn from the experience and experience something new. But yeah, that's a very common question, and obviously if somebody has gotten lost and not been able to find their way back, you know, they wouldn't be alive to tell us about it. But like I said, you know, the fact that I'm still here, the fact that my mind is operating really well, I have a very tough, complex computer job, and I have no problem with brain function or anything like that. So, if I had encountered anything that was negative, I would have, you know, I would be in a lot worse shape right now. There's nothing that bad that I've encountered out there, and it's never a problem to get back to your body.
Good.
Fascinating. This is really interesting stuff.
Bob, will you come back and be on a show in the future? Because we're almost out of time, and I tell you what, we just have a million more questions.
Yeah, you know, I'd love to be back on the show. I've enjoyed it, and I want to get to all the questions, because to me, it's, you know, there's no limit to how much I can talk about this subject. And so I'd love to be on the show again.
Perfect. Yeah, we'd love to have you back. This is just really interesting, and it's fun to talk to someone that has so much experience with it.
No,
you know,
and
so
everybody in the chat room is saying, please have him back.
Yeah,
girls.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're definitely getting you back on the show, and we'd love to hear more about what you're working on, or, you know, any travels that you've had in between shows.
Great. Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Perfect. And we're going to wrap up our show for the hour. I can't believe it flew by that fast, but fun stuff.
Oh, it is very fun. So
and next week, we're going to be on location.
Right, doing an investigation.
Active thrift store, vintage store, mm-hmm. getting ready to kick off our Halloween month.
Yes, and it's going to be a fun month. I'm all excited.
It is. We're excited. So we're going to do a little investigating before our show next week, and hopefully have some good stuff for you when we hop on.
Yeah, and we'll have some of our investigators with us. I'm sure Jerry and Tim will be there.
Oh, absolutely. Our super fans, yes. Our other super fans.
And they can be investigating while we're talking on the radio, and hopefully we'll have lots of things happen.
Absolutely. I'm excited for it. And thank you, everybody, tonight for joining us, for all your questions. Thank you to ParaX for hosting us, and Sarge for all of your support and best producer-ness that you give us. So we're looking forward to next week, Steph.
And thanks, yes, Heidi and Stephanie, for having me on the show.
Yes.
Oh,
thank
awesome.
You, Bob.
We will get a hold of you and pick another day soon.
Yes. Thank you, Bob.
Sounds good.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week, everyone.